Blog Talk Radio.
A long, long time ago, I can still remember how that music used to make me smile. And I knew if I had my chance that I could make those people dance, and maybe they'd be happy for a while. But February made me shiver with every paper I'd deliver. Bad news on the doorstep, I couldn't take one more step. I can't remember if I cried when I read about his widowed bride, but something touched me deep inside the day the music died. So bye bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. And them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing, "This'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die." Did you write the book of love, and do you have faith in God above? If the Bible tells you so, do you believe in rock and roll? Can music save your mortal soul? And can you teach me how to dance real slow?
Halftime.
This is gonna be a blues number.
Yeah.
But first, I want to do a little bit of background on the blues and say what it is. Like, there are six cardinal colors, and colors have always come to signify more than simply that particular shade, like redneck or got the blues. That's where you apply colors to something else, you know, to come up with what it is you're trying to say. So there are six cardinal colors, yellow, red, orange, green, blue, and purple. And there are 3,000 shades. And if you take these 3,000 shades and divide them by six, you'll come up with 500. Meaning there are at least 500 shades of the blues. For example, there's the I ain't got me no money blues. There is the I ain't got me no woman blues. There's the I ain't got me no money and I ain't got me no woman, which is the double blues. And for years it was thought that black people was the only one who could get the blues, so the blues hadn't come into no international type of fame. But lately we done had Frank Rizzo with the lie detector blues. We done had the United States government talking about the energy crisis blues. And we're gonna dedicate this next poem here to Spearhead X, the X second in command in terms of this country.
Got the blues.
And the poem is called H2O G-A-T-E Blues. And if H2O is still water and G-A-T-E is still gate, what we're getting ready to deal on is the Watergate Blues. Let me see if I can dial this number right quick. Click. Click. I'm sorry. The government you have elected is inoperative.
Got it.
Click.
Got it.
Inoperative. Just how blind will America be The world is on the edge of its seat, defeat on the horizon. Very surprising that we all could see the plight and still could not. Let me do that part again. Just how blind will America be? The world is on the edge of its seat, defeat on the horizon. Very surprising that we all could see the plight and claimed that we could not. Just how blind, America? Just as Vietnam exploded in the rice, snap, crackle, and pop could not stop people determined to be free. Just how blind will America be? The shock of a Vietnam defeat sent Republican donkeys scurrying down on Wall Street. And when the roll was called, it was Pepsi Cola and Phillips 66, Boeing, Dow, and Lockheed. Ask them what they're fighting for, and they'll never mention the economics of war. Ecological warfare, above all else, destroy the land. If we can't break the Asian will, we'll bomb the dikes and starve the man. America, the international Jekyll and Hyde, the land of a thousand disguises, sneaks up on you but rarely surprises. Plundering the Asian countryside in the name of Fu Manchu. Afraid of shoeless, undernourished Cambodians, while we strike big wheat bargains with Russia, our nuclear enemy. Just how blind, America? But tell me, who was around where Hale Boggs died? And what was the cause of LBJ's untimely demise? And what really happened to J. Edgar Hoover? The king is proud of Patrick Gray, while America's faith is drowning beneath that cesspool, Watergate. How long will the citizens sit and wait? It's looking like Europe in 38. Did they move to stop Hitler before it was too late? How long, America, before the consequences of keeping the school system segregated, allowing the press to be intimidated, watching the price of everything soar, and hearing complaints because the rich want more? It seems that Macbeth and not his lady went mad. We've let him eliminate the whole middle class. The dollar's the only thing we can't inflate, while the poor go on without a new minimum wage. But what really happened to J. Edgar Hoover? The king is proud of Patrick Gray, and there are those who say America's faith is drowning beneath that cesspool, Watergate. How much more evidence do the citizens need that the election was sabotaged by trickery and greed? And if this is so, and who we got didn't win, let's do the whole goddamn election over again. The obvious key to the whole charade would be to run down all of the games they played. Remember Dieter Beard and ITT, the slaughter of Attica, the CIA in Chile, knowing nothing about Allende at this time in the past, as I recollect, Augusta, Georgia, the nomination of Supreme Court Justice to head off the tapes, William Calley's executive interference in the image of John Wayne, Kent State, Jackson State, Southern Louisiana, hundreds of them authorized bombing raids, the chaining and gagging of Bobby Seale. Somebody tell these Maryland governors to be for real. We recall all of these events just to prove that Waterbuggers in the Watergate wasn't no news. The thing that seems to justify all of our fears is that all this went down in the last 5 years. But tell me, what really happened to J. Edgar Hoover? The king is proud of Patrick Gray, while America's faith is drowning beneath that cesspool, Watergate. We leave America to ponder the image of justice from its new wave of leaders. Frank Rizzo, the high school graduate mayor of Philadelphia whose ignorance is surpassed only by those who voted for him. Richard Daley, imperial Napoleonic mayor of Chicago, who took over from Al Capone and continues to implement the same tactics. George Wallace, Lester Maddow, Strom Thurmond, Ronald Reagan, an almost endless list that won't be missed when at last America is purged. And the silent White House with the James Brothers once in command. But see the sauerkraut mafia men deserting the sinking White House ship and their main mindless megalomaniac Ahab. McCord has blown, Mitchell has blown, no tap on my telephone. McCord has blown, Mitchell has blown, no tap on my telephone. Haldeman, Ehrlichman, Mitchell, and Dean, it follows a pattern if you dig what I mean. Haldeman, Ehrlichman, Mitchell, and Dean, it follows a pattern if you dig what I mean. And what are we left with now? Bumper stickers that say Free the Watergate 500. Spy movies of the same name with a cast of thousands. and that ominous phrase that if Nixon knew, Ag knew. But Ag didn't knew enough to stay out of jail. And what really happened to J. Edgar Hoover? The king is proud of Patrick Gray, and there are those who swear they've seen King Richard. King Richard, 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 King Richard. Beneath that cesspool, Watergate. Four more years of that.
How's everybody doing tonight? Hey, this is Ron Reck, and this is the Ron Reck Show live on BTR. How's everybody doing tonight? I hope everybody's doing well. Tonight, we're going to take a look at the American Spring happening in D.C. right now. You know, I want to shout out to all our brothers and sisters out there that are trying to make this right for us to get our Constitution back. They do need our prayers, and I would like to go into a little prayer for them to help them out. So if I could just have a minute with you, I'd like to say a little prayer to them. Dear Lord, please help our brothers and sisters to fight this war that we've been fighting for years and get our freedom back, Lord. Help us secure each and every one of them. They will be safe and well. And, Lord, please help us get rid of the tranny that's completely taken over our country and ruining our life and our world. They have done very many evil things to this world and planet. It ain't just us. It's worldwide. So, good Lord, in your name, I praise you. Please help them out. Amen. But yeah, that's what we all need to do for each and every one of the people that are there. Bless their loving hearts. I mean, I wish I could be there with them, but I'm hung up here for a minute. But, I mean, as long as this goes on, if as soon as I find a break where I have a few days I can get out of here, I'm heading up there. And, of course, I'll do the show live from D.C. if I'm there. But, yeah, if you can, go. Just go do it. Don't be scared of it. Don't worry about them. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to get these people that have completely turned this country upside down. I mean, you got to figure, there's over 59,000 factories in this country that have been shut down since the 80s. Ever since Bill Clinton took office, we've lost a lot of work, a lot of work. You know, on the show before, I told you about the movie out that's called Death by China. Watch that. That's a good movie, or a good documentary, excuse me. It explains a lot. It does explain a lot of what's going on, what happened to us, how it's going. It's not looking good anymore. It came to the point where people are really waking up to this. And they have no feelings. You're talking about, I would say, a criminal cult that has no feelings for you, me, anybody else in this whole damn country. We've been used as slaves. We're being used all the time as laboratory rats, you know, with all these drugs and chemicals and shit they keep pumping down us. And it's got to stop. It's got to stop. We are human living people. We're real. We're not fake. We're not money. But they have used us as money. They have taken us and turned it upside down, turned us all into corporations, and turn around and just shit all over us. And they keep doing it. They keep doing it. They hook our veterans. I mean, right now, the deal with the minimum wage increase, you know, there's all these nursing homes. They got to jack up the money to the workers. Well, they're like this. I knew we're not going to up our contracts with the veterans we got in our nursing homes. So we're going to throw them out in the street because they're worthless. You know, and the whole thing I learned in my day, soldiers are expendable. We're expendable. That's sad. But also, you think of it, us, the people. I mean, another part I can't get is what war did we ever fight for us, for our freedom? Not one. I don't see it. I mean, in reality, people just thought that was it. We're fighting freedom. But it never was explained to me clearly what was going to lose freedom on. I mean, 9/11 was the last one to me to come to the fact that it's all, using my language, I don't want to say it, but BS. Let's say it that way. But it's not just there. It's just not Washington either. You got to remember, your local politicians are just as much about this game too. It's a criminal cartel. They're just branch offices, you know, like a McDonald's chain. You know, putting nonviolent criminals in jail, no victims. You're not a victim, not a damage, no fraud, which constitution, that constitutes a crime if you do one of those three things. But they're locking people up for no insurance in their car. Now they're going to fine you for not having medical insurance. You're forced into it, called extortion. I consider that straight up communism. I mean, every well, it's socialism. No, it's beyond that. It's beyond that. They've gotten so sloppy, we can see what they're doing now. That's the sad part. I mean, they're so sure of themselves now that they're pulling this on us now, right in front of us, whether you like it or not. You know, when it first came out was the insurance law, you know? That, I mean, if you don't pay the money, you're going to jail. That is the same thing. If you don't pay me the money, I'm going to throw you in a trunk. Same thing. Not a bit of difference. So then you got that. Well, it was the automotive insurance law. Then you got the seatbelt law. Like, you don't know how to, you know, it's up to you. It's not up to you how you drive a vehicle. It's up to them, okay? You know, like, I'm a marijuana supporter. I support marijuana. I mean, it's a weed. And everybody calls it a drug, but it's not really a drug. The shit they're handing you, the pharmacies, that's a drug. And you don't know what's in it. Now the FDA just approved them to put a microchip in pills? Come on, man. And everything else. Another thing, cashless society, it's already here. Everything's done through debit cards. Everything. So, you know, people, we need to wake up a little bit. But we need to support them folks up in D.C. We really do. And I tell you what, man, it's not good. This ain't been good. These people they're telling you now what we need to do. And if something don't get done soon, it's going to be too late. It might already be too late, which I hate to admit that. You know, they're prone to target people. It's sad. It's a horrible thing. Why would you do something like that to people? But they don't care. They don't have a conscience, and they don't have feelings. But eventually, it all will come to them. It'll all fall apart, and I hope soon for them. And I hate to see it. But anyway, without further ado, I guess I better bring my partner in crime on this show, which is, Antoinette in Delaware. Antoinette, I should say it correctly, because she don't like it when I say it wrong. Good evening, Antoinette. How are you doing, sweetheart?
Good evening, Ron Reck. this is my night off.
I know, but you're here. I'm just dragging you in. If I'm being forced to work, I'm dragging you in with me. I'm taking you down with me.
No, you're on your own tonight, buddy.
Well, I know, but I'm trying to be nice, you know. This is my radical night. You know, I get radical. But it's too important right now with this American Spring going on to get stupid. Think I need to stay directly on point for the rest of the week. For the rest of the month, the rest of the time, whatever it takes, however long this is going to last. This is very serious. I mean, it's extremely serious. And, I pray to the good Lord that they're taken care of up there, and they don't have a hassle with the assholes. Excuse my language again, but that just bothers me. I'm so sorry it bothers me. Something's got to be done here. It's getting out of control, man. I don't see what, you know, if we don't do
something. It is.
You know, this is bad. The future of our children, the future of our grandchildren, you know, the future children of them children, it ain't looking good. It's looking bleak. Like I said, 59,000 factories in this country are sitting dormant and empty, falling down. Because they told them to unbolt the machines and take them to China. So, you know, the other part about China, the other thing about them, too, is, you know, they're not wanting to take the American dollar no more, but we're the biggest importer of theirs, you know. We're the biggest importer. We buy more than products. And it's the biggest catalyst of them all is Walmart. Walmart is the biggest catalyst of all. Right. 90% of everything Walmart sells is made in China. 90%. Everything.
Yeah.
The only 10% that is not made in China is the deli and the Subway and McDonald's inside there. But who knows? That food might be made in China, too. Who knows? Just processed or cooked here or whatever. Who knows? But I'm just, wow, crazy.
I'm sorry, wait a minute.
Oh, that's all right.
I'm sorry, that was my fault.
That's all right. It's your night off. You can do that.
You're going to have me trolling? No, thank you.
You're patrolling?
No.
If you like to, I wouldn't think that of you, but, you know, people can change. I get it. Anyway, I know better than that. I know much better than that.
Not
too long. Yeah. Anyway, we got a couple more callers on here. We'd like to bring those in, talk to these nice folks. So we're going to open up all the phone lines, kids, so everybody can talk to us. I believe that is Elvira. How are you doing tonight, sweetheart? Elvira, can you hear me?
I'm fine. You?
Hello, Miss Elvira.
I'm doing pretty well.
Hello,
extremely
dear.
Busy.
Oh,
extremely
I know.
Busy. I'm supposed to do a show tomorrow, and I had a piece of my drum set break, so I had to take like a 100-mile trip to go get the piece I needed for the drum set. Lovely, huh?
Wow.
And then,
yeah.
then
well, as
they
long
told
as you get
I, yeah,
as long
I got
as you
it.
Get
I got it.
You got to do what you got to do.
Hey, I got to do
it's
it.
It's not
it,
for here,
I
y'all. We're going to miss the rock and roll.
Oh, no. when you need it, you got it.
Heavy metal. We're going to miss that.
Well,
thank
I'm,
goodness.
Wait a minute. I'm not playing heavy metal tomorrow. I'm not playing rock and roll. I am playing old-fashioned, old-timey music, old bluegrass.
Oh, okay.
Bluegrass and blues. Yeah. Really
okay.
Nice.
Well, I can go for the blues.
Okay, but I'll fall asleep halfway through the show, I'm sure. But no, I'm kidding. But anyway, let's bring this other caller on here. Just waiting, got their hand up. Hold on 1 second.
Okay.
How's it going, 330? How are you doing tonight? Welcome to the Ron Rex Show with your co-host, Twinette.
Good for you.
Hello, Dorothy.
Hello.
Oh, okay. Hi, Dorothy. How are you?
Good, thank you. How are you?
I'm a little tired. A little tired, but I'm actually doing good.
Okay. Good to hear.
I'm a little concerned about everybody in D.C. right now with that deal. You know, I'm just, good question. I have a good question on that whole topic, but I hope it works out. I do. I've looked at this, researched this, I've lived it all, and just don't, you know.
How long is the March 4? Is it indefinite or?
It's not
until they stop.
It's not a march.
Okay.
March.
Well, I'm sorry. What is it? Occupy.
More or less, right.
Okay. Well, I put American Springs March. I'm sorry, y'all.
Oh, no, that's okay. But it's each individual person there on their own accord type thing set up. You know, it's not a big protest method.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I heard go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry. I was cutting into you. I'm sorry, dear. You heard something?
Oh, I heard the man that was doing it, he's a preacher, I believe, and heard him saying something about people getting on the buses to go to a prayer meeting or something like that. So I don't know if they're going to have a prayer ritual there or something also. But I heard him say that the Oath Keepers were coming and the militias.
I don't know. I guess people are still showing up as it goes along through the day. I don't know.
Yeah.
But they'll keep them because they're planning on staying there for many days, however many days it takes to get this done.
Okay,
you know.
So it's not a march. I'm sorry, y'all. I put march in. So it's more, I guess, more or less like Occupy. Well, I hope it doesn't get infiltrated.
Well, that's, you know, the problem, you know, and, you know, mass media is not covering this because, of course, they're owned by corporate, you know, corporate people that are in government control, like state television type deal, where I see it, you know, a lot. I just hope they don't pull off some false flag malarkey again, you know, like 9/11, something like that. That was horrible. You know, they should be prosecuted for that. You know, I think Bush and Obama should be took and hung for it, but, you know, it's just an opinion. But him and Cheney are both, you know, I think Cheney was running the country more than Bush, really,
so, too.
You know, so.
ABC has
man.
A question. ABC has a question. Operation
okay.
American Spring, I'm sorry, ABC. He said, doesn't that sound like the Arab Spring? Did we support
right.
the Arab Spring?
Right, yes.
Did the United States
support
the Arab Spring? Yes.
Some of the people of the United States, the government didn't know. But, yeah, the people did.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what was that about?
But transport government. They, matter of fact, they did it twice. And that actually, the amount of people showed up for that show was 33 million people showed up for that one. 33 million people.
Thank you, ABC. ABC put a link in.
That was Mubarak of Egypt.
Pardon me?
Mubarak of Egypt. He was supported by the United States for many years. And as the story came out, now please know, we have bits and pieces that we know is accurate, but what I was listening to and hearing was that a young man who was selling fruits and vegetables, had a produce stand, was denied the right to make a living. And so in utter protest because he could not provide for his family, he set himself on fire. Others were taken into custody and had been previously during the Mubarak regime, their terms, and one of those guys would eventually come out of that and get into computer sciences and move up through the computer world to a very high position that when all this stuff kicked off and people started gathering calling for Mubarak stepping down because of his brutality and things that most people were not allowed to know, this young man who again, he became the figurehead, and I don't remember his name offhand, I remember his face, would actually, through his internet connections and his internet savvy, began to be the media point that released information on what was going on and had cameras and information on the ground reporting this to the rest of the world because all the other stuff was being blocked. So he became the person that became the media point to releasing what was going on. Mubarak was eventually, by sheer magnitude of people saying no more, asked him to leave. They even had, because women were coming out as well, and in the highly Muslim countries, they were finding that women that wanted to dissent against Mubarak peacefully were actually being assaulted by people from different sects, if you will, who were attempting to keep women in the background and virtually silent. So one of the interesting things that transpired was that a great many men in the culture began to have a safe zone for women so that they could be seen and also participate without being accosted by their fellow, whether or not they were infiltrators or people like that. And so there was clearly infiltrators that were coming in and causing problems and doing lots of stuff. I mean, that's what I remember seeing in the news issues.
Okay, now, Dorothy, do you think that you said the way how they treated women, they have a woman in one of those countries, and forgive me, I don't remember which one now, that she's pregnant, and because she married a Christian or something like that, but anyway, they're planning on hanging her after she has her baby.
I'm sorry, I don't know the facts around the case. I would hope that if on the facts of that information, while I believe in the respect of all faiths, I would certainly hope that there are those who could step in and diplomatically help to shelter her from that kind of retaliation, because in my understanding, whoever the creator is, by whatever name one calls it, certainly understands the truth of love, the truth of connection to the heart.
Yes.
And I believe that that's what all dutiful people are really about. It's interesting because if you go far enough back to Jerusalem,
mm-hmm.
and the king of Jerusalem and the Jews and the early Christians, you also had the Muslims and some of the great leaders, and again, I'm trying to remember his name right now. They had an absolute understanding that their word was very respectful as who they were as people. Maybe I'm hoping that the name will come to me. It was one of the greatest Islamic Muslim leaders of his time.
Mughafi?
No. We're talking
okay.
back in like...
Oh, further along. Okay.
Oh, yeah, way back. 1200s or some time back there.
Oh.
I'm
sorry.
That's when
probably better for a question that a Muslim could answer.
Well, this
is when
Jerusalem...
in Jerusalem.
In Jerusalem,
was
they had
Sharon?
A balance. They huh?
Was it Sharon?
No, way much farther back. This is when the Knights Templar were represented by which was represented by the Pope. So you had
mm-hmm.
those folks. Then you had the King
Muhammad?
Of Jerusalem. No.
Okay.
And then you had the I know this. I just don't know why I can't remember his name. But they actually had an agreement, and they absolutely honored each other, each other's religious practices and beliefs. And
mm-hmm.
only because some who wanted to cause dissent did it all collapse. And it's actually it's featured in a Liam Neeson movie. The King of Kings, Kingdom of Kings. It's Orlando Bloom, Liam Neeson. Let me see if I can find it. But there is a great deal of rich history that most people are not familiar with that existed, and this Muslim warrior would actually defeat the Pope,
mm-hmm.
the Pope's army, as well as after the King of Jerusalem died, that it was taken over, and that totally upset the cart as far as the balance of understanding. And from
mm-hmm.
there, they actually had an agreement where you did not bring in other nations to war against each other. If you had a dispute with one person, you would have that dispute in total openness without bringing in other people. Because they didn't understand the concept of, why would you bring somebody in who has no beef against me?
Right.
Which is, sadly, a modern-day kind of terminology.
Yes. Dorothy, before you go too much further, you had a question in the chat room. What is FGM, and what do they do?
What is who?
FGM.
FGM.
Yes, that was the question. Not unless it was meant for Ron. Ron.
I think so.
Thank you. Ron will be right back. COG, when Ron comes back in, I'll see if he can answer that question. I have no idea what FGM is. I never heard of that. I don't know. I'm sorry. But Ron stepped away for a moment. So, okay, thank you. Thank you, COG. Female gentle
Oh, mutilation.
Yeah.
Yeah, female genital mutilation. Well, that takes many different.
And that to take the pleasure away from the woman, so she doesn't feel any pleasure.
Well, it is, but it also, if you think about it, it's also been in this country as well, just in different ways. You know, you have in certain countries where they actually mutilate the vaginal area, and because it then becomes more of a duty, because, again, in certain countries, although we can even say we've had this in this country, where people have said that girls are responsible, or that they are the ones who entice men, that men have no responsibility as far as their own physicalness and boundaries. Now, we've seen that as far as this country, when sadly we have pedophiles that often blame the child for their issues, and
yeah.
Yet the child knows nothing of sexuality. A child is a child. Until they are sexualized, they don't know anything about it. And that's where the issue becomes, or the crime becomes the issue, is because our laws are woefully behind, as well as the allowance of these crimes, because we have had the false memory syndrome, which is pretty much been telling the American public since at least the 60s or before that it is that people's trauma memories are not realistic. This was followed up in the 80s, in and about the early 80s, when you had psychologists that were willfully participating in this misrepresentation of people's brutality, that began putting women on rape trials, rape juries, and they did that because women in this country had been socialized through propaganda to believe that it was the rape victim's fault. And so what they did is, through psychologists, they put these victims on the jury, who would then blame the victim rather than hold the criminal accountable. And the psychology behind it is they would believe to blame the victim rather than to believe that this crime was as widespread as it was, and that they could be at risk. Now, that was from one of my college professors. What that ultimately is that when you have psychologists, and this is commonplace anymore, where even attorneys have consultants, that's jury tampering, folks. You're supposed to have your peers. You're not supposed to have a rigged system. So that's one
True.
Level of jury tampering.
Yes, that is true.
And if you move forward and go backwards, there's also a great deal of information, even including the Catholic Church, that has been allowed and then sadly given immunity through President Bush W. the second, immunity to the Pope for who used to be as Cardinal Ratzinger, was overseeing under John Paul II the rapes of Catholic children throughout the United States and other places around the world, and then their manipulation to then be brutalized as adults and human beings. He was given immunity. They didn't bother to ask those Catholic kids that if this was okay, and yet across this country, and that actually really began coming out more formally in California in the 1970s, in the Oliver O'Grady case, that you can get the DVD, Deliver Us From Evil. This is a documentary. And watch all three parts, because in it, the Cardinal Maloney of L.A., along with the bishop, covered up and even came up with new laws, new rules of confidentiality of evidence. See, between certain people, they are authorized through our legal system to have confidential communications. Those are wife and husband.
Yeah.
That's attorney, client,
right.
Doctor, patient. Doctor,
yeah.
Patient.
Mm-hmm.
You also have attorney, client, if I repeated that.
Yes.
But what they did is they then included cardinal and bishop communication when it had nothing to do with confessional. And so the Catholic Church actually wrote the rule and got the U.S. government to go along with it when Oliver O'Grady, who was a priest who was passed around to four different dioceses in L.A. area, Sacramento, where he raped over 100 children, both boys and girls. And nobody did anything about it, despite the fact that there were plenty of rules and laws on the books at the time to stop this abuse. And it was going all the way across this country. This was happening. And nobody brought it out. And at the same time, in the Boy Scouts, you had, it was known as the Files, where the Boy Scouts leadership, now not all, but a bunch of them, and please know I do not advocate for any kind of violence against any of these people. I believe in going through appropriate systems and not any type of retaliation. You have SNAP out there, which is the survivors group of clergy abuse, all different kind of clergies, nuns, even civilian teachers that work in these, or even any type of employee of the Catholic Church or any clergies. So it's a great organization that is bringing in more people that have been abused as a nonviolent entity and holding accountable these different people. So that's SNAP, and then put clergy abuse, and it's not just clergy, but anybody associated to them. And they have chapters all over the world that is standing up and speaking out about these criminal abuses. But they have been working on this since the 70s, and John Paul was not the only person, John Paul II as Pope was not the only person involved. Even the Pope that goes back to the 60s, which was, I think his name was John 23rd, I think, that he was also aware of this stuff. Now, these two guys recently got canonized in the Catholic Church.
Yes, I was getting ready to ask you about that, didn't they?
They were recently sainted, yeah.
Yes, and, you know, hearing what you know, and, you know, and then to hear that they got sainted, you know, like, you know, what did they get sainted for?
Good question. And there are a lot of survivors that are very upset because John Paul II was well aware of this and did nothing to stop it. Going backwards, the John the 23rd was also well aware of it and did not stop it. And it is unknown how many Catholic children were abused, but it's not just the Catholics that are doing this. The Catholics set the foundation for how it is done. And the sad thing is that it has yet to come fully around to see how severe and shattering of hundreds of thousands of children, even as adults, this has affected. And this has a very significant history that involves in it. I mean, the sad thing is that this really does destroy a lot of children. It destroys who they are as human beings. Because when they're born whole. And as soon as this type of stuff happens, I always like to use the analogy of a mirror. Or, you know, if that doesn't work for people, then they can look at whatever analogies fit for them. But for me, if you were to take a mirror and you begin to sexually, physically, psychologically, or technologically traumatize a child over and over and over again, it cracks who they are. And once you do that, you can manipulate their life. And because of the ongoing traumas, and these are organized criminal trauma networks that are having this done to children. And as they're growing, they're caught in these webs within their communities that are, in fact, by the nature of what's being done and how it's being done, it then begins to cause a shutdown of articulation, a shutdown of their critical thinking, of their logic and their reasoning. And often, again, think of, let's think of an apple at this point. If you were to take a bite of an apple, and let's just say that that represents the abuse, the first step of abusing of a child, because sometimes the analogies here are difficult to communicate the full implication of it. Every time any level of abuse happens, and it's not typically based on how the law is writing it, it's based on how the child reacts to it.
Yeah.
Again, our laws across this country are so far behind, and the problem is you typically can't even get these networks of predators held accountable because there's too many people who are either way ignorant in our legislators, or they're part of the trauma systems that are allowing this stuff to happen, in which they know exactly how to keep these laws written in a way that it is nearly impossible for victims to produce the evidence that's required. Because in our society, the psychiatry system, the mental unhealth system, and again, I'll give you go to cchr.org, so charliehotelromeo.org. Watch The Hidden Enemy. This is a documentary that shows the truth about the psychiatry or the Mental Illness Association, and how it has literally been set up to hold accountable those who've been criminally violated. Now think about this. Rape and abuse and the beating of another human being is a criminal violation according to all state laws. Yet when these victims who have been traumatized over and over and over again, and because either of their parents as young children, because we are all told, especially in the Catholic religion, they told their children, they were told not to, and it depends on the part of the country, but many were told to not tell your children what their body parts were, especially those associated to the sexual organs. That if parents told their children, that was a mortal sin and the parents were going to hell. Now, that was the way the Catholic Church, and it was absolute. So if you don't tell a child what their sex organs are, and the whole attitude was, if they know about them, they'll use them.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't understand that concept, but...
Well, the concept is how do you hide the criminals in plain view?
Yeah.
Because what it does is it doesn't give the understanding of a child's body parts that the criminals know how to sexualize those children to then use and abuse them. And even today, in very religious families, and I'm not criticizing them, I fully support their dedication and their devoutness to their religious belief system. But there's a difference between teaching your children all their accurate body parts, including those of the vagina, rectum, penis in proper terms, and breasts, so that those children can appropriately describe to their parents if somebody has inappropriately touched them. Because one would never, I mean, it's amazing to me, because even in today's court systems, because the courts have intentionally tainted, a great many judges either are clueless or they blame the victim still because of either they've been tainted, they've been compromised, or they are in fact absolutely ignorant based on the old propaganda systems. Now, when you have that kind of mentality that are in our judicial systems and in our law enforcement systems, then the children really have almost an impossibility in many instances to be heard. And we've been hearing about teenagers who the judge blamed or didn't believe the teenager that would commit suicide. And now they're saying, oh, well, I made a mistake. Really? Human behavior is going to change subtly to even radically from who the child is when they've been abused by a person. And yet even this information has been suppressed by the system for parents to know what those changes, significant changes are. There's been a great deal of lighting, suppression, and hiding of those of that behavioral change. And they have really, the criminals have really advanced this technique. They know which children have been abused. And what used to take 20 years of ongoing abuse of a child now only takes typically 3 days to totally traumatize them for sexual slavery based on the drugs.
3 days?
Huh?
3 days?
3 days, yeah. 3 days.
Well, before the chemicals were involved with this, it's complete brainwashing.
Yes.
A young child's brain is not developed very well, so they could get their brain tuned into this. This is okay. This is the way it is. You know what I mean?
That's right.
What they believe. And they go, okay, well, they're the adults, so I will go along with that. Later on when I found out, you know, later. But now what you're saying, like the drugs, the chemicals, you know, now if a kid, a little bit, a brat or whatever, a little outspoken or whatever in school, which generally falls around to being a very spoiled child, they can't have their way, they throw fits, so automatically let's drug them down.
Right.
And, you know, the sad part about that is these kids growing up are winding up on these depressants forever. Now,
right.
I mentioned this before, one of my shows, I said, you know, if it ever comes down when the shit hits the fan and economic collapse hits, when it hits, I didn't say if it hits, I said when it hits, these people are going to flip out because the drugs won't be there no more. No more antidepressants. So can you imagine, I say half the population of the United States of America coming off an antidepressant drug, which they have shown, and I've just seen a news reel on this last week, the fact of, I think it was Zoloft or one of them narcotic drugs, that these people can't quit. If they try to stop it, they're having withdrawal so bad it's ugly. Bad reactions to their body and everything. It's like, wow, man. So
if you go back to CCHR.org and you watch that documentary of The Hidden Enemy, it even shows that a great deal of these antidepressants, now let me kind of give a heads up here to anybody who might be listening, do not do cold turkey and get off of, if you're on something like this, do not do cold turkey because that, in fact, can kill you.
Mm-hmm.
If you watch this movie, documentary, it goes on to responsibly tell you that often a lot of the side effects aren't even really listed appropriately in the little manufacturer's area. And a great deal of these drugs are actually causing the problems. So again, the warning is, if you might be on these things, and there are people who might need them, but there is also a clear indication when you watch this documentary, it states about how, A, there's been never a psychiatrist who has ever cured a person.
Mm-hmm.
They also talk at great length about the pharmaceutical industry and what it's doing in causing a great deal of problems. Now, they do a historical perspective of how these pharmaceuticals were used in the 1940s, 50s, 60s, primarily on military, still being used in the military, on our military, and then on veterans, and how it's been virtually dispensed throughout the entire population.
Right.
And again,
well,
if people are criminally violated, they're emotionally damaged. They're not mentally ill. If you witnessed a bank robbery, if you witnessed as a witness and you witnessed somebody who's breaking into a house, when you give that police report to the police or anybody, you are a primary witness to those crimes. They don't ever label you as mentally ill. But if you are a primary witness to your own criminal abuse, according to your state rules, all of a sudden these systems are in place to deny you as if you're mentally ill. And this has been allowing for at least 60 years criminals to continue brutalizing people. So in the book Rabbit Hole, at the back of the book, this is by David Schurter, S-H-U-R-T-E-R, David Schurter, S-H-U-R-T-E-R, Rabbit Hole. In the back of it, it talks about startling statistics that have been hidden from the public. Among them, 2,185 people a day are going missing. So 2,185 people. And that was as of 2004.
Mm-hmm.
That 2,185 people in 2004 go missing every day. Why isn't that the big story? That's 43 people per state, and it's believed that those are very low statistics.
Well, the story is never retold because it's controlled media.
Exactly.
You know, the only they're trying to stop this too. I mean, I keep telling all my listeners, you know, the days are numbered for us here at BTR. You know, my show and all the other shows in BTR, they're just numbered because eventually they're going to shut it down because they don't want you to know this. And it's coming to the tyrannical point. It's really getting so tyrannical, but it's getting so obvious to a lot of people. But people are just numb of it. You know, they just don't. Well, the bad thing about people gotten completely too lazy to fight it. And they've made them that way. You know what I mean? Because, one, when you take the work system away from the people, and they don't have no jobs anymore, and they're living on, you know, state help or federal help, whatever, they just don't give a shit no more. They don't care. They're living comfortably. They don't care. Okay? But here's the problem. That's coming to an end. And I think that of course, we talk about Agenda 21, but I think this is part of that agenda, that the agenda is to get people all screwed up on these chemical drugs, get them out of jobs, and then we'll have them flip out and go crazy, we'll kill them all, and we'll blame them for it. They did it to themselves. You know, that seems the way the agenda is working, what they would like
sure.
to see happen.
But you brought up an interesting point in reference to President Clinton. If you even go back further, there was a huge boom in creating jobs. And the question is, who got to create those jobs? Who were the people that got to own those companies? And as their profit margin, and again, I'm not anti-profit, but there is a due diligence and responsibility of what happens when those companies begin to put the squeeze and fire certain people if they don't go along with any kind of corruption or any kind of scheme that takes advantage of people.
Right.
So
right.
That was even before Clinton, and the
it's way before that.
Yes.
Actually, I would date it back as far as back as well Lincoln, but the real hit I think the country seen was 1907 when they turned everybody into an enemy of the state. That was when it really took a turn, and then after that, then of course the birth certificate was born. That bad ugly thing that you know you're a straw man of you, and you know I have proved that in court several times. You know I have. You know, I have totally turned courtrooms upside down with this. And it's because there's no, you know, the thing is, I stood for my constitutional rights. And everybody goes, well, they're getting stripped away from you, they're getting stripped away. No, they're not. Because you have to know how to apply them. But guess what? They didn't teach you that in school. They never did. They don't want you to know that. Right. They don't want you to know you have, you know, well, you know, and every time they go for election, you know, I'm going to defend the Constitution. They take the oath to defend the Constitution, all this, and they don't. They never do. You know, and if fighting all these wars for freedom, what freedom are you trying to stop? We're already free. How's this person, because they have all this oil or these minerals that we want to steal from them, a threat to our freedom? We're more a threat to them than we are than they are to us. You know, like, okay, Saddam Hussein never threatened the United States of America. Never. The first time we hit him, he set all his oils and wells on fire because he knew that's what they were coming for. He had his own currency. They didn't want that either. They wanted to be in control of everybody on the planet. And he fought them. That's what it was. So all of a sudden, big tech, we Americans just jumped up our taping flags, our antennas on our cars, and going around America, America. Yes. Well, that's true. But guess what? We was never threatened by them ever. Never, ever. And that's the sad part. Hey, I catch you guys for a minute. I just got a link sent to me a minute ago from somebody outside the show. It's there's an update on the American Spring videos that's been shot, and it's just been put on YouTube. So I'm going to play this real quick. It's like an 8-minute clip. So I hope you all enjoy listening to this. Well, not enjoy it, but I mean, let's take a listen to this real quick, and we'll get right back to talking, okay?
This is,
yep.
Washington, D.C. time about the in Washington, D.C., but I'm following this closely. Now the numbers have grown substantially. There were 3 storm alerts going on this morning, and I think it deterred and slowed down a lot of people, number one. Number two, I think a lot of people were nervous about going from these misinformation alternative news people, the show alternative news people without names being mentioned, you know what I mean, saying it was a false flag, okay? Now, when we watched the Bundy thing in Nevada recently, it started out slow, and then it grew. And if they didn't back off, it would have really grown. And 100,000, 200,000 people. That's going to scare the imposter in chief. Now, more information as well. The goof, Obama, do I need to explain who the goof is, I guess? He's in Hawaii playing golf today. Now, the Secret Service is going to get very, very nervous about bringing this mental midget back to the White House with a good amount of protesters outside, protesters of this caliber screaming, resign, impeach, arrest him. They're not going to be comfortable with this. So I don't think they're going to let him go back to the White House, or they're going to have to do something to get rid of the protesters. Now, if there's 2,500 protesters, I think the Secret Service could be comfortable. If there's 15 or 20,000 protesters by the White House or more, I think the comfort level of the Secret Service is going to be dismal, because they're going to be playing paranoid games. What if they start a riot, push the fence down, and charge the White House? What are we going to do? What if this? What if, you know, they're not going to be happy. Okay, plus, I think they'll have to be giving Obama heavy sedatives to get him to go to sleep, you know. So I think we need to be looking at what happens when he comes back from Hawaii. I don't know. I mean, I'm thinking on the outside, he'll come back Wednesday. You know what I mean? I don't know how long they can keep him there. Maybe they keep him there 10 days. I have no idea. I don't know if the kids or they think he's married to, whatever gender it happens to belong to, is in Hawaii or not. I don't know. So it could be the only people in the White House is low-level staff. Where Biden is another good question, along with Pelosi and the gang. So how long are these criminals impersonating his government officials going to stay out of town while the protesters are there. Okay, I made that point. Also remember this, as this grows, it gets seen, more and more people are going to want to come out of their shells and go over there and do something about this, like the Bundy Ranch. Okay, they're not going to be happy about it. Okay? They're not happy about Obama. Now, will this work? Good question, isn't it? I myself, personally, am not a big advocate of, let's say, non-Second Amendment protesting. I like the Second Amendment style much better. It's more direct and to the point. If Obama comes back, and in my opinion, you can agree with me or disagree, feel free. He's a narcissistic psychopath. He's a mentally ill person. Okay, seriously mentally ill. Okay. And he comes back, he may fly off the handle and have the law enforcement start doing awful things to the protesters. It's a possibility. Like, what do I mean, awful things? Sorry, you know, gases, electronic devices can run off. He may go that route. That'll be worse because that's going to get these people to come back in a different way. Okay? You got to remember, this is a mentally ill individual who eventually will come back to the White House and they're going to be sitting there chanting for his arrest, his impeachment, and him to resign. You're not dealing with a rational, sane person. So how is he going to respond to that when it's happening right outside of his house? Okay, so he has 250 Secret Service agents around there. No matter how many Secret Service agents around there, with this type of a mental case, you're going to have paranoia sink in, right? So this thing could just be getting started. Let this seed has now been planted. Now it's being watered and it's starting to sprout. Okay, if you're a Bible-thumping Christian like me, pray for them. Pray for them to get results. Pray for them to run Obama off. Okay? The wicked will flee when nobody's chasing. It's in the scriptures. Let him run away. Get on your hands and knees and pray for his demise. As a Christian, I've got to scratch my head and say, what would be more effective? If at 10 o'clock every day or every night or something like that, people got together and got down on their hands and knees and prayed for God to get rid of this government, would that work better than grabbing a bunch of AR-15s and going over there? Well, to get God to work, there's going to have to be repentance, right? Is there repentance in the United States? Are there idols on the government buildings? Are abortions taking place in wholesale quantities? Are the sodomites running the country? You see what I'm saying? It's a hard one, isn't it? Okay, so pray for them, be of good cheer, and this thing is probably just getting started. I don't think you'll see 20, 30 million or 10 million, but you might get several hundred thousand, and that might be all it takes. What else is going on that you think has a better chance than this? Rest my case. Thanks.
Okay, hold on 1 minute, folks. We've got one more coming up real quick. It's a short one. That one, everybody kind of hear this one also. So give me 1 second.
Ron?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Hold on.
ABC wanted to ask the question first.
Okay, if you can give me like 3 minutes, I'll be right back with him. Okay, I'll be right back.
Okay,
here we go. Let's just flip real quick.
Protesters and demonstrators have been self-organizing and rising up against injustice in the Arab world. Some people have been wondering if Americans are ever going to wake up to the injustice going on in its own borders and be fed up enough to spring free from our own tyrannical federal government. Well, now there's a group who's trying to make that happen. A collective of radicals was planning a protest in Washington with a really ambitious goal: to overthrow the U.S. government entirely. The group, which actually calls itself Operation American Spring, plans to head to D.C. on May 16th to set up camp on the Mall. And if they don't stay there until President Obama and other top officials resign. The group is headed by a retired Army colonel named Harry Wiley. The 76-year-old says his demands are bold, but ultimately he wants to begin a constitutional restoration for the resignation of key leadership. He's hoping the protest will cause Congress to stand up and kick Obama out. This is someone who served the U.S. military in its top ranks, mind you. And now he's set up with the crooks in office whom he calls just flat-out lawless. Wiley says between 1.2 and 1.8 million people are already mobilizing to flood Washington on the date of the march. That's probably a stretch, honestly. Why? Because most Americans are still too comfortably numb. They have their TVs and their iPhones and Facebook and cheap clothes at Target, so they're still asleep to the fact that the country and their future is being stolen right out from under them. Our politicians, bankers, and corporations are all colluding to take that comfort away in their never-ending quest for more billions. So more and more Americans are bound to get more and more uncomfortable. And in fact, with Occupy and hashtag activism and other grassroots movements popping up, indeed it does seem like some Americans are starting to wake up out of their corn-fed stupor. So, if you're already awake and angry, you should definitely check out Operation American Spring's website at OAS2014.com for information on how to get involved. It might not be as huge as the colonel wants it to be just now, but it could be an indication of a real American spring to come. Tonight, we'll talk about that by following me on Twitter at The Resident.
All right. I saw I filled them up there real quick. Yeah, so anyway, it's going. It's happening, so I hope it turns out to be a good thing. I muted myself. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that.
I heard you.
Okay, all right, I'm sorry. All right, but anyway, you know, it's just the way it is. ABC is on the line, so I'm going to bring ABC in here real quick.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, what's
Hello,
happening,
ABC?
How you doing, man?
Oh, okay. I actually, you know, was prompted to call in from that clip. I thought that was a caller that had called in. The guy that was talking about Obama, and he made a remark about that thing that Obama's married to. He, you know, not sure if it's a man or a woman, and he called Obama. Said that he thought Obama was a narcissist, something or other. And, you know, he went on about this administration. And, you know, I haven't been on the air for a while as far as speaking, but I just always, you know, I want to put it out there to people that you do a disservice to the movement, if we put it like that, or the awakening, when we do that kind of stuff, because all it does is, first off, it helps to distract people from how deep this thing is and how serious it is, because Obama's just the latest of the line of puppets. But, you know, when they personalize it and make it about Obama and, you know, and then you got to say stuff like, yeah, that thing that he's married to or whatever, you know, and he's this big narcissistic, this and that. They're all narcissistic, you know.
Right.
And what's so disheartening about it is that when Bush was in there and 9-1-1 and after that, and, I mean, everything about that administration was this kind of imperial presidency. They discussed that and debated it in the media about the imperial presidency. And this is a wartime president, and we don't have time for discussions, and, you know, he's got to have the power to make decisions. And people helped to argue and defend that power of the executive. Now, all of a sudden, you know, Obama's doing the same stuff, and he's some kind of crazy narcissist, like it came out of nowhere. You know, we want our freedom back and stuff. And it just, you know, all the black people in particular are going to, a lot of them are defending him just because he's black, so they'll jump up and start talking that. Then all the white racists will jump out and start yelling, here we go with the race card again. And before you know it, we ain't even talking about the true freedom and stuff anymore. So anyway, it kind of struck me when that guy, or whoever that on that clip was that was saying all that stuff, and he said he was a Christian, which, you know, I mean, on one hand, he's saying he's a Christian and stuff, but he's saying all this crap, and, I mean, it doesn't sound very Christian. So, you know, yeah, it's that kind of stuff that
I see. It was just sent to me, man. I didn't get a chance to review this clip or nothing. That said, you know,
and it's all good.
Mostly. Right, yeah, I mean, yeah, you're right about when he's saying he's a Christian and all that. I'm like, okay. You know what I mean? I had to start thinking about that, too. Okay, well, yeah, right.
And honestly, it's all good, you know, even the clip, you know, you're not having a chance to have reviewed it. It's fine because it still brings up part of what we have to deal with as far as trying to break through and see what's going on and issues that help deflect us. So, you know, it's worth the discussion.
Well, do you remember back in the day, way back, I can't remember when, it was a country western. I don't know if you're a country western. I think it was a country western song. I'm not remember, but it was something. I sold my soul to the company store. You know, somebody mentioned that to me today. I had to go to the music store to get some parts of my drums, and the guy that I used to deal with there at the percussion department. He goes, yeah, man. He's like, I did your show. I've listened to it quite a few times. You're really cool about it. You know, blah blah. And he goes, well, you know, man. Would you really think that this country is in, you know, that much trouble and that we're having this many problems? I said, dude, haven't you looked? They're taking away your rights that the rights you think you have they're gone. And the bad part about it is, you know, people don't even know they're gone yet.
Yeah.
That's the thing. And like that last clip I showed, and the girl that was from RT said that, you know, Americans are too comfortably numb sitting behind their TV sets and playing on Facebook. You know, to even pay attention.
Yeah.
And that's what they want. That's exactly what they want. Like I said many, many times on the show, they don't want smart people. They want obedient people.
Right.
You know?
Another thing that the clip said that I found, I was former military, and I was in during the Reagan administration. And I will tell you that from 1981 to 92, during the Republican side, it was very lawless inside our military. It has always been.
Always has been.
And the difference is those powers that own the networks could shut it down because it was coming out in the 90s, and that is why part of the buy-up of the networks happened, is to keep this off. Now, again, this is not to disparage good and decent military people, but there were laws and boundaries that have absolutely been thrown out of there is no accountability on severe crimes and severe traumas in which well over 700,000 victims have virtually been thrown under the bus, and nobody's bothered to look at who are these victims of these severe crimes that have totally destroyed their lives, in which in the VA, that the VA for 22 years I've dealt with it, a bunch of those people need to be charged with crimes against veterans, the brutalization over and over and over again, pushing them over the edge. I've witnessed it. I reported it in multiple states, Ohio and Arizona, and nobody wanted to do anything. In fact, the abuse went up towards me even more. So I've lived it and witnessed it. It has been, and it didn't matter who I wrote, senators, congressmen, president, popes, and I've written them all. Nobody wanted to touch this because the question is, who are the victims of these crimes? These are often, if you go back historically and look at these people's lives, these were the good and decent people in our country who would have, if they had not been severely traumatized, would have stood up and said, no way, no way. There would have been a discussion as far as, where are you driving us? Where are you taking us? I even find it very interesting that China right now has so much pollution that Americans living overseas are coming back, and yet we don't opt to say, because we all breathe the air and the air and all the particulates that you guys are polluting so heavily are floating around the earth, that we're not saying, well, let's charge them $4 million a day off of our debt.
Well, a question for her, and I'm sorry, the name is Dorothy or Debbie?
Dorothy.
Dorothy, you know, when you were talking about the corruption there during the Reagan era and the abuse and the crime, in particular, since you mentioned that administration, I don't know if you talked about that Franklin cover-up.
Yes. Yeah, I'm aware of it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And when we talk about abuse at the top levels and stuff, and this was there was a senator that brought all this to light and wrote the book, Nebraska State Senator.
John DeCamp.
Right. Who brought all this light and pushed it. He pushed it and pushed it and tried to get something done about it. But we're talking children that are being sexually abused and used as sex slaves, taken to the Republican National, what do you call that?
It was
the convention, the Republican National Convention, to be used as sex slaves. And this was, you know, I mean, this is during the National Convention for the presidency. You know, they get together and they do the speeches, the national conventions every 4 years. This was going on during that time. Bush was the main one into it, but it was
so it was Reagan. And what they also said is that those children ended up at the White House.
Right.
Sex slaves at the White House, sex slaves in for congressmen as well as for lobbyists. Yeah, so there's been a lot of people compromised.
Exactly.
But even before that, in Nixon, have you ever noticed that they never talked about the files? What were the files at Watergate? Those files were actually lists of pedophiles in both parties, both Democratic and Republican Party. That's what the list of file names were, and I've gotten that from a very reliable source who happened to be a detective.
Wow, I didn't know.
Never talked about what that was.
So when we talk about
this stuff. They're trying to steal the files. They're trying to hide them.
Well, sure. And again, you have to think of who was stealing the files.
Right.
It was Nixon's people stealing the files, but it was actually a list of pedophiles in both sides. And again, fast forward it to the Catholic Church, immunity to the Pope. You know, who are these people that are being destroyed? They're children of parents who would not compromise or become collaborative in corruption. So often you go after the good and decent people because if they are our future, you destroy their future and you keep them in severe trauma. That's not only my life experience, even though I was, you know, I had my dreams and they were totally taken from me, thanks to the Catholic Church and others participating.
I gave 6 years of my life, you know, to the government. And, you know, at the fourth year, I was ready to go home. You know, I was done. My term was over. I was out. Well, they, you know, came and sugarcoated it, and I bit for another two. And I finally realized what I was doing. You know what I mean? And I finally realized what was really going on. So I have still got this thing going. I'm still looking for my recruiter. You know what I mean? I'm still looking for that guy. Because, you know, one for lying to me.
Do you know what's interesting? They're actually trained. They're actually trained by car salesmen on how to close the deal. I use car salesmen.
And then, you know, the other thing I learned at that time, GI, you know, I always thought it was a, you know, I knew what it meant, you know what I mean? I knew what it meant. But, I mean, as you know, as there was a figure of speech, you know, people call you, hey, GI, blah, blah, blah. Then come to find out when I came and woke up to reality that I am a piece of government equipment and I am government issued as a piece of equipment, not as a human, not as a person. I'm a piece of equipment.
Right.
So, Then I figured out about the oil business. That was, I really learned about oil, and that's why I was there, you know. So
when
I was way done.
When you know this stuff, you know, what you're talking about there, understanding that part, and particularly what Dorothy was talking about, you know, how sick this stuff is, how deep it goes, and how it goes up to the powers of the, you know, the White House and this kind of thing, and how long it's been going on in the immediate sense. I mean, you can start talking about stuff that happened in 1776, but, you know, in the modern era, how this stuff has been going on. That's the kind of stuff that makes it hard to sit back and listen to the simple kind of comments of, well, you know, if we could get rid of this president, man, you know, this thing is bigger
that's
than one person.
Help at all.
You know,
well,
it's bigger than
that. If you did, like, okay, check me out, look. The last election, okay, they threw Mitt Romney in the ring to go against Obama. Just because they don't know anybody else in there. You know what I mean? Because Ron Paul was really trying hard to fight for that, get in there. But you knew that wasn't going to happen either. They sure wasn't going to let that guy in to unravel all their shit. Because he knows, this first thing he said, he wanted to get rid of the Federal Reserve. You know, illegalize drugs. That's a horrible thing. That's a horrible thing to do. But, you know, we have so many people in prison in this country now over victimless crimes. It's insane. It's what I consider, one, we say it's sick, but I call it so sick it's twisted bad. I mean, twisted hard and bad, real bad.
No, absolutely.
And that's, you know, people, I can't blame people. I can't, you know, I want to say, well, you know, wake up, you know. I mean, if you scream until I'm blue in the face, but like that lady said, comfortably numb. People are that way. You know, they are more obsessed with watching TV, American Idol, and Dancing with the Stars, and going on Facebook and Walmart, and going through McDonald's and hitting Redbox. They completely forget about the reality. They have been trained so well not to find out about reality. It's sick. Okay, just like we saw earlier about children and them drugging them up. Because they don't want them to know. They want them to be stupid. They drug them so stupid. You know, every pharmaceutical commercial you see on TV now, they tell you all these different side effects, you know. I went to the pharmacy one time and looked at the pharmacist and said, hey, I'll take everything you got. He goes, what do you mean? I said, well, if I take one, I'm going to need everything else you got to straighten it all out. So by the time I take all these drugs, I should glow in the dark and be able to see the surface of the moon and fly, you know. So that, I mean, let's go into this real quick, though, my thought of this. Okay, when everybody says, well, you have the pharmaceutical companies, but then you also have the chemical companies. These guys are all in bed together. It's one big orgy with these sick bastards. You know, they're all together, every bit of it. I mean, Monsanto is with Pfizer. You know, it's going on and on and on and on. You know, and now this deal with them putting the microchips in the pills now, I mean, they want to shove an RFID in it so damn bad it can taste it. They want that much control of us.
Right, but let's go back to...
What gives them the right to do that to us?
But let's go back to what you said. It's always amazing, because in law enforcement classes, they would use the term victimless crimes in relationship to things like prostitution. Well, if you understand, and please know, when you understand, there was a 1970 study from the Masters and Johnson study in L.A. They found, they looked at 98% of the L.A. prostitutes who had been sexually brutalized as children. And because of the way they were manipulated throughout their lives and kept shattered, that they believed that that was the only thing they could do. Not because they wanted to, but if you really understand the patterning and how they do it to people, it's because that's how they set it up. Now, overlapping that, 1972, the movie that, and I call it the crime scene caught on film, Deep Throat, with Linda Gorman, known as Linda Lovelace. She was a Catholic and police officer's daughter of New York.
Mm-hmm.
She was drugged. She was put under hypnosis after being beaten. And in that film, which I've never watched, that crime scene, I've never watched, you can see the bruising on her leg. Now, that crime scene on film would go to the Supreme Court, be considered under the pornography statutes.
Mm-hmm.
Senator Keating at the time, now remember, he was later busted, and one has to wonder, was he set up because he stepped up and stopped this, or tried to, said it was pornography, and the Supreme Court, instead of ruling that it had no redeeming value, turned it over to the states, where the states, under entrepreneurial business, allowed it to be distributed. And who were the distributors? The Columbo crime family, who were also Roman Catholics. Ding, 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 mm-hmm. You see? That thing has made over $500 million since 2005. It became, and why did not America get to see this? Because at the same time, the Munich Israeli murders happened.
Right,
and
right.
A whole lot of
You're
other
right.
stuff that took precedence over that. You also had people like Dr. Ruth and Jack Nicholson.
Donahue.
Who went and saw that. Now, Dr. Ruth, and again, no dismissal of her, but she couldn't even tell that this woman was being brutalized in this crime scene on film. She made millions in her own understanding, yet that became the benchmark in this country to brutalize children for that ongoing crime scene. Then they bring in drugs like scopolamine, which has been in the arsenal of the American system, which is called the voodoo drug, devil's breath. And if you give a little bit to anybody, it takes over their mind. Their eyes are fully awake, looks fully awake. They can answer you as if they are fully cognizant, but they are taking orders, and they'll do anything you tell them, and there's nothing they can do. There's a documentary out there, even with a Colombian professor of toxicology, saying this is the most dangerous drug in the world, and nobody is stopping it. And yet this is being used against innocent people to destroy their life, to compromise other people that would never be willing to do this kind of stuff. And the victims are literally destroyed through the rest of their life, because any place you go, having been trapped in these systems, not even remembering it because it has an amnesia quality to it. Linda Lovelace Linda Gorman, said she was repeatedly raped, and not a dang person in this country stopped it.
Mm-hmm.
That is why it's now 3 days, and people, and that is being used to terrorize, torture the victims. Have you ever noticed you never hear about escaped victims of human sexual slavery? Where is that organization? Where are those speakers who are saying, this is what's really going on, this is how they're doing it, this is who I was, this is what they've done to me? These people are systematically being silenced and caught up and being murdered and being set up for crimes. They are some of the people that are being set up to be sent to prison or set up for somebody else's crime. This is an ongoing thing. This also is impacting different communities, because this is happening to a lot of whites, and often because, sadly, so many men in the white community are either selling out their relatives, selling out their nieces, neighbors, or somebody else in participating in this, that often when white women have been violated by their own community, they're going to African-American communities or minority communities, because still in some minority communities, they still have very tight family relations in which those young men were raised totally respecting their mothers and their grandmothers.
Mm-hmm.
And the white communities within the policing, law enforcement, criminal justice system, they're actually participating. Not entirely, but there are people within it participating in doing this to their own people. And
let me stop there real quick for a second, Dorothy.
Sure.
I got to jump on this real quick. Here's the deal on that. When it comes to law enforcement, They're trained in this, and they believe what they're doing is right, even though it ain't. That's the sad part. I mean, I had
I sent you some documentation on it.
Okay, that'd be great. I had an inside source tell me one time, this is in the local county here, this person told me, excuse my language of this, but I quote, this person told me that the judge, you know, I ain't going to mention the name, of course, stated that he enjoys fucking people's lives up. He enjoys it. So what does that tell you?
Mm-hmm.
That's sad. He ain't about protecting you. He's about protecting corporate interests, just like each and every one of them. Corporate interest. Make money. Rob
mm-hmm.
people and make them think it's legal. That's
right.
What they do. That's why I just want to jump in on it. Go ahead, hon. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. The other young man, you wanted to speak.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, to the point that Dorothy was making about the white communities and minority communities, I think what would play into that is that the minority communities have already had much less respect for the system, the police, the government, because of, you know, the treatment. Whereas the white community would be, yeah, so whereas the white community would be more inclined to be supportive of the system and the police and this kind of thing because it has worked in their favor. So when you have a case like this to what she was speaking of where, you know, white women might be being abused and sexually assaulted and all this kind of stuff, those women may be more fearful of, hey, you know, I know ain't nothing going to, I know I can't beat the system because everybody around me supports it. All the white people support it. So, you know, they
right.
run to the minority communities as a refuge where, you know, it's like, well, they're not part of the system. They're being abused by the system just like I've been abused for it. So maybe, you know, if I go over here, I might be more acceptive and not have to deal with this stuff. That sounds
well,
like a possibility.
Most victims just go with the flow, and nothing they can do about it. Nobody's listening to them. That's the sad part. You know, four years back, I had some friends of mine come to me and tell me their daughter was molested by a teacher in their school and caught by another teacher. Nobody did nothing about it. Nothing, okay? Well, of course, you all, you know, most of my listeners have been around me quite a while. You know, I'm very rambunctious when it comes to things like that. So what I get since that network, since I had inside connections in the media, because of what I do for a living, I made some phone calls, and I got the man arrested, okay, and got the prosecutor under the gun also. Why didn't he arrest this man? Why did he not file charges? And then why did you let the man go on his own reconnaissance? And the prosecutor said, because he turned himself in before the charges were filed.
Yeah,
and
see,
like,
that's the kind of stuff that make people lose confidence in the system. Hey,
exactly.
And I'm gonna go, but I just wanted to make one more comment. Ron, you were talking about the Operation
sure.
American Spring, and I dropped mm-hmm. in there a message in the chat earlier. Antoinette had talked about it, but that American Spring, and you know, I always am hopeful when the citizens are coming out and protesting, but as soon as I heard the name, I thought that sounds like Arab Spring, and the whole Arab Spring was a ruse and a concoction to get us involved in there, to keep us over there. We were already over there with the Iraq and all that kind
right.
of stuff.
Right.
But
right.
all this was
exactly.
to keep us over there. And it's just geopolitics to take over. So I would assume that this American Spring is an attempt by the same people to kind of maneuver some stuff here in the States. I don't know about it,
well,
you know, being an attempt to topple the top like it did in the Arab countries. However, you know, it's a release valve, like a tea kettle. You know, it gets too hot
right,
and you need
right.
to release some steam. So
right.
it's like, okay, here we go. Give them something that they can rally around and vent.
Right. Well, the
on.
Thing, but ABC, you're correct in that. And what really got me, like you're saying, I got to question it myself, too, because some fact is, okay, well, we were involved with the Arab Spring over there to get that going. And we do have certain departments that start shit in places. And this is a retired colonel doing this. So, I mean, where's the question? My question I have myself.
Wow,
I didn't know
that.
I don't know which way it's going to go. He's a retired colonel, from Army colonel. And so I'm thinking, well, he might be a retired Army colonel, but is he still playing with the same set of
exactly.
tools?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So that kind of makes it questionable to me. Right, like you said, man. Exactly. You hit it right on the head with me, man. Absolutely. Yeah. Is he
all
part
right,
of the,
guys,
he
I'm
going
to try to listen in the background, but I'm going to go ahead and drop off.
Okay, man. For sure.
All right, man.
Come on anytime. All right.
Okay, Ron?
Yes, ma'am.
We have 15 minutes left, or we going overtime?
I can't. That. I can't do it.
Okay.
I'd love to. You can if you want. I can't. I got to get to
no,
that
this
is show
your
in the
night.
Morning.
This is
your I know,
night.
But you can. Not no more. My night's over. It's after midnight here.
Uh-uh. Friday is yours.
Uh-huh. No, ma'am. This is Saturday now. This Saturday.
Nah,
I'm free,
nah,
ma'am.
Nah.
Mm-hmm. Bells rang.
You were late. You were late.
I know. I know. But and I'm very sorry, guys. I am. I try to stay halfway on time, but I'm not promising nothing. I have a very busy lifestyle. But I would love to go in overtime. I would. You could still do it. I mean, I just.
No, I have to get up early. I have my granddaughter tomorrow.
You know, I have to go play music in front of about 600 people tomorrow. Not that I want to. At 11 o'clock in the morning.
Yes, you do.
At 11 o'clock in the morning. You know? And I ask who in the Samuel L. Jackson plays a outdoor event at 11 o'clock in the morning? People
Samuel
still waking up
Jackson.
My world.
Okay.
Man. But,
well, I hope
you want
you
to
got,
go on overtime?
I hope I got you some, you got some documentation I sent you.
I
did
to
you send it to Ron or to me, Dorothy?
I sent it to both of you.
Oh,
okay.
Okay,
great.
During the show?
Just before it.
Oh, okay. Great. I'll have to check it out. I didn't go back into my email, but I will. Thank you. And thank you so
Dorothy,
much for
anytime
coming
you
were,
and yeah,
participating
if you're going to come back
with
anytime.
Us.
Well, once
absolutely.
You see that, and like I said, I hope you got it. If it didn't come through, Antoinette, you know my number. Give me a call and pass the number on to your host so we can talk about what's there.
Sure.
Because that has some very significance as to what's going on. And again, I believe that all children should have a right to choose who and what they want to be. And when you go and you look at stuff like Jose Delgado and some of his experiments on human beings, remote neurological computer chips that were put in, this is in the 60s. Into children.
It was in the 60s?
In the 60s, they put it into our astronauts, but they also put it into children and severely abused people at Harvard. They did it instead of putting it into the criminals who abused them. They put it into the victims, and then to change your behavior, and then they put it in totally normal children at Yale. Harvard, Jose Delgado did it, and the girl who was, you know, had a goofy grin on her face, they gave her a little torque of pulse energy, and it made her go into a rage. The little boy, who was 11, thought he was a girl and wanted to marry Jose Delgado. Now, in 1974, Delgado said he wanted to put in these chips into the brains of all military, to the lowest rank, to the highest generals, because they didn't have a right to develop their own brains, and they wanted to control their body. Now, this was, and they said the elite were the only ones who had a right to control these people. So there's a great deal of documentation, and you go out on YouTube, put in stuff about Jose Delgado, put in and look at Barry Trower, put in the speech 3 October 1985, President Clinton speaking on human radiation experiments, and begin looking at the facts. Clinton said that there was inhumane experimentation from 1944 to 1974 that was going on towards children or towards citizens in universities and in our military. And yet nobody, none of these victims were told about it. The federal government agencies were asked to give their, what they wanted to do about it.
And, of course, they didn't do anything about it. They allowed it to continue.
Well, we don't know. But when you begin looking at this stuff, you have to say, how do you do this? Did these children ever give full consent? Because if they didn't know about what happened to them, even when they became of age, an age of reason is at age 7, if it was done earlier than that, then were they ever told fully what consent is? And full consent is not just signing your name. It's you have to know what the short-term effects, long-term effects, what
well,
it will do your life, how it will affect you.
Right. There's a criminal way around that, okay?
Uh-huh.
Even though the children did not give consent to have this put in them, it would fall back under the commercial code of corporation. You see?
Mm-hmm.
Where the human rights separated to the corporate right.
Ah,
see?
And yet the only one who can truly give full consent, even under that law, is a doctor who does it to themselves.
Well,
because it's actually done under fraud, and there is no statute of limitation on fraud.
Right, right.
Under corporate law.
Right, right. But let them do fraud. Watch how fast it goes away.
Of course.
Yeah.
They change the rules. There's two sets of rules. That's what everyone seems to understand. And I try to explain to you, there's two sets of books here, kids. One book is one way. One book is the other way. You just don't know which book to play.
And I'll beg to differ with you. I agree with you, but I think there's actually three. There's their rules.
Well, I'm sure of that.
Well,
right.
Wait a minute. There's
sure
their rules, the rules they have for the rest of the people, and the rules they have in transition, because every time somebody starts figuring this out, they're in transition of changing it.
Right. I would agree with you, yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you for that information. Pat, you're right. I believe you're very right about that, right. And that's, it's just terrible. I mean, if people really knew half of what I know, they couldn't sleep. I didn't want to know this. I don't know why I do know this. I don't, you know what I mean? I didn't ask for it. I didn't go, I'm not one of the people that went, I got to get involved in all these conspiracy theories and all this crazy bullshit. No, it never didn't work that way. Not for me. It just didn't, I mean, I always had a fascination with law, okay? So I studied. I'm not a lawyer. Of course, I don't give legal advice, blah, blah, blah. But I studied it just to do it, because I was curious about it, There's so much I didn't understand. So I had a traffic ticket, a long, long time ago, years ago, and I beat it because some friends of mine were college, law students, and I got this little speeding ticket, so he didn't experiment with me in court. They wasn't worried about me going to jail, and they talked me into this. So my buddies, these guys are real good friends still to this day. And, we did it. And what it was, I was defending myself because, it's a misdemeanor bullshit ticket. I could have just paid $35 and forgot about it. Well, never had to go to court, just send it in the mail. But, I decided to challenge it, Well, the judge asked if I had a witness. I don't see you having been a witness to this. I said, because no, I don't have the witness, but the witness has to be provided, but I'm calling my accuser. And the judge goes, the police officer was already up on the stand, sir. And I said, but technically he was not my accuser. He didn't accuse me of anything. And the judge goes, I don't understand what you're saying, son. I said, the accuser is the radar gun, the box. That's the one that said I was doing over the speed limit. It has to testify to prove it. So, can it talk?
And?
Nope, it can't. Case dismissed.
Wow, good for you.
But they changed it. They've changed it now. It's another way. I mean, I can still beat one, but they've changed the rule. They changed the game. See, they do that, too. Once people catch on to a way they can beat the game, they change the game as they go along, And a lot of people don't seem to understand. You got to keep up with these people. You got to keep up with them because they're changing shit as fast as you think about it. So, it can be a total different scenario. But I'm sure they have changed the law. I've not looked into the traffic law and God knows when, but that was saying it. Technically, it was the accuser. It was accusing me of doing something wrong, okay? And under the Constitution, I didn't do nothing wrong anyway, period. So, they have no right to tell me how I can travel and how fast I can travel at all. But, stop signs are great. Yes, using caution signs. Use what we got. Everything's working good. Just don't do it on purpose and be stupid with it, But, that's, they target people like that. That's their main target. They want people to be goofy. They want them to screw up. That's money in their pocket. I mean, it's pretty funny when you have you have to do nothing and make money. You know what I mean? So the cop fills out a real police report. Takes him about 20 minutes. You know, he does it practically in his car, in his computer now. It's even quicker than that.
Well, another
so
thing
they
is,
have that much money.
Another thing is that any time you call the police and you have a report done, listeners, you need to request a copy of that report. You need to
always.
You need to make sure that it is accurately written. And the way it should be, and the way it should be written is the who, what, where, when, why, and how. If it isn't precise as what you have said, then again, depending on the type of incident that it is, if you have somebody threatening you, and that police officer, again, this is stuff I was taught in college, if that information isn't accurately written and something happens to you, that's where they go to. They go to that report to begin doing an investigation. And yet, sadly, when you challenge and you find out it's absolutely as if it's written by a kindergartner, and all the information is wrong, I mean, horrifically wrong, and you go to supervisor and you say, I'd like this change. Sadly, supervisors can decide not to change something where it's a threat against you. And then they become combative and threatening. That's when you know you have a problem. And prosecuting attorneys at the local, state, county, and federal level, they're not there to help you as a citizen. They're there to represent the establishment, even if you are victimized.
Mm-hmm.
Ask.
They gotta
ask,
make money somehow or another.
Well, ask and find
somehow
out. In your state, do you have something called home rule? What home rule means is that between your cities and counties, and then even the state at large, if there are criminal networks that are operating between city, county, and other counties, that victims have to get the local authorities to collaborate and cooperate with each other in investigating crimes. So when you're talking, and I hate to go back to this issue because this is huge in this country, human sexual trafficking and slavery is huge in this country, and yet states won't collaborate and cooperate with each other because they're only going after the Johns and the victims, not the networks that are creating them. Not the networks that are keeping this going. And I think there needs to be a rule called make-away, the make-away rule, which is when these crimes happen, from the state on down, there should be an immediate bypass of the home rule situation.
Right.
Because it is about the safety of these human beings. And yet you can't, there's only one place in the entire country right now that is stepping up, and it's Mayor Jim Rothstein of Minnesota, St. Martin, Minnesota. He was a former military, retired New York City detective, and he's now the mayor of St. Martin, Minnesota. He has actually created a resolution to hold accountable the networks that are sexually trafficking human beings, girls, boys, doesn't matter the age, to hold them accountable in helping these victims. And nobody else in the country is doing a dang thing about it to this level. So if you're interested in it, we can see about it. I can get you the resolution because I'm working with him on
it. I really would.
We can discuss it at length because it is time to say enough of this stuff. And it really is about taking these traffickers' monies and giving them to the victims, as well as creating real task force.
Right. Absolutely. I'm all for it, sure. We'll get together on that, absolutely. Cause, I mean,
again, you have to remember, sadly, normal human beings are are sexual people. The difference is these are not volunteer victims. When you're
right.
dealing with that, they're using these people to compromise other people. So these human
right.
beings are highly expendable, and then they destroy their lives in ways that nobody has a right to. And they're even denied
right.
the right of recovery.
Right. Well, you know, that's like Children and Family Services or Children Protective Services, either one, whichever you want to call it.
Yes.
That's tyrannical people. Them are some straight-up lunatics. You know, I mean, I think we could talk for 10 days on that real quick, you know, for a crash course. But I just, wow.
No, I'm well
and,
aware
know,
of
it,
that. I've seen it.
Right.
Seen
right,
it.
You know. So, I mean, yeah. I'm just my point is, you know, there is a way to protect these people, and they just don't know how to do it. They're not told that. And, you know, it's, wow. Man, because I had to deal with them before myself. You know, they were called on me once, twice maybe. Yeah, I think twice. And they showed up with the police, you know. And it was an no-win-win situation. They couldn't. There was nothing wrong with my kids ever. And they said there was, my kids were begging for food down the street or something. I don't think so, you know. My house is fully stocked. Always has been since the day they were born, you know. They've had, always had everything they needed. But, you know, I, as a matter of fact, the cop that showed up is now the sheriff here. But he's really cool with me. But, yeah, he...
Well, and I think, to be all fair, I mean, the thing that probably needs to be said is that in all these institutions we talk about, there are good and decent people.
Right.
There always are. That's why this is such a difficult thing to really to pinpoint, because when you begin to see who these people are, and they do expose themselves,
mm-hmm.
I don't mean in a sexually inappropriate way, although some of them do, but when they begin to play their games and
sloppy.
participate in their networks, there's nobody wants to hear it.
Right. But it seems the thing is, it's getting sloppy, though, you know. I'm just looking to know how they're exposing themselves. It's becoming more obvious. A little more people are picking up information now. You know, something you never see on television. That's why I don't watch TV. Because I've came to the point with any network television or any shit, any really television, to me is worthless, you know. Because the only thing I, like TV here, I live in, you know, in Missouri, and the only thing on TV here you see is ambulance chasing lawyers, you know. And I'm tired. The thing that's so brainwashed in my head, and I always think about it all the time, have you been hurt in an injury? Have you been hurt in an injury? And then the other ones, insurance companies don't care. They don't care about you, you know. So, you know, you hear it all the time. I mean, every time you go for a commercial break, you see one of those, you know. So I just don't, you know. And lawyers ain't my best friends anyway, they're the same. Because I call it. You know, I tell them, you're part of the Bar Association. You're all members. You know, and I have popped a few attorneys in my day. Continue on.
Well, again, you know, everybody needs to begin paying attention, even to who are your superintendents of schools.
Mm-hmm.
I actually
right.
talked to my former superintendent, and he admitted to me that he was aware of the abuse of children.
Mm-hmm.
He was aware that children were being targeted as young adults. And he said it got way out of hand. The new superintendent would tell me I took things way too personally. Now he's
mm-hmm.
up in the Cleveland, Ohio district doing this to other children.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah, they'll move around. They'll
well,
move
of
around.
Course they move around.
Right.
And
you remember the story I was telling you a while ago about the teacher I got popped, you know, for busting
yeah.
that little girl? Well, two weeks ago, another teacher, same school, got popped for doing the same thing.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. So, you know, this time's a little worse than the first time. This is actual bad, bad deal. So, yeah.
Right.
And
yet those children
right,
will be on the target.
Right. The superintendent comes on and says, well, we're going to check better. Next time we'll do more thorough checks on teachers. And I'm like, you know what? He said the same damn thing 5 years ago.
you know, what just happened 5 years ago, man. Wouldn't it, you know, and you said the same thing. You're going to screen teachers more. And, well, what went wrong? Is your system not working? Or you don't give a shit? You know, so that's...
Combination of both. Plus I in the 90s, I pulled 20 different states' teacher applications and non-teacher applications, and not one of them asked all the right questions. Not one of them.
Well, this last family worked there for a year.
They honestly don't care.
Right. The first guy I got help pop, he worked there for 20 years. So, and that came up to another, how many more victims are there? We found two more, you know, later on. We found two more. But I know, I'm sure there's more, you know, than that. So I don't, you know, that's, you know, terrible. That all these victims are unheard. Somebody never said nothing about it. So somebody said something about it, something might have been done about it, maybe. You know, unless they turned it around, of course, as usual, you know. Well, you know, he's found not guilty, he didn't do that type deal.
Well, sadly, my awareness of this is those children need to be homeschooled, because until they have absolute solid safety, and they will not get it in the schools, no matter where they are, because there are networks within all these systems that will continue to begin whittling them down, because they're now on the target.
Right.
And that's
Aren't they going from school to school?
I'm sorry?
Trying to follow them?
What?
I'm sorry, I said that goes from school to school, that'll follow them?
It's not just school to school. You know the bullying system that goes on in school? A lot of those bullies end up becoming the criminals of tomorrow. It's not just happenstance. There are no coincidences. There are people, even within these children's circles of peers, there are those who will continue bringing up sexual things that they won't even fully get because they think they're friends. And so it keeps them sexualized, because think about it. How much did you ever, go back and think about your circle of friends. How much did you ever really get to know their parents? How much did you get to know about them and what their real beliefs were, even into high school? And yet if you begin to go back and do a systematic look at your own life, as I have and as others have, it was amazing, because I was really into art, so I saw people as artistic, I mean, works of art.
Right.
I didn't see people sexually, but it was amazing the people around me who kept all that kind of really ugly energy going. That does a huge number on people. Then you look at things like Saturday Night Live or different shows that were profanely dismissive of human beings and telling people, you know, conditioning people to think that really sexualized issues were funny. Dismissal of human beings that had hearing issues. Again, it was amazing how this stuff even got on TV. And over the years, parents, back in the day, parents were supposedly standing up saying, you know, that the sex and violence connection is really over the top. Well, my God, you can't turn a channel without hearing profanity, sex, or violence, or putting people down.
Yeah, and now it's even in the cartoons.
Oh, it's in everything.
Including the sex.
It was even there.
Sexual
years
innuendos.
Ago. It was there years
what
ago.
What the heck? Ron, what was that? Ron?
What?
Is that you snoring?
No, it ain't me snoring. No, not yet. Well,
was
no.
that your mule? Lord, that
no,
scares me.
I opened up the phone lines.
Oh, my. Darcy, did that startle you?
I haven't been a...
Uh-uh. That sounds like my cousin. Mute them, Ron.
Well,
I thought it was this one. Okay, no. Just say, no, that ain't because he don't block his number. I think that's Peter.
No, I don't know.
Let's see.
Well, whoever. Lord, Ron blocked
him. Hey, Peasley, wake up, man. Peasley.
Is that on sleep?
Yeah, good night.
Wow.
Okay. Must be nice. Must be. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, that's okay. It's kind of about that time for you to wrap up anyway, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I'm in overtime now, so we got into the topic, you know. So, I mean, yeah, man.
And Dorothy's a fascinating person to talk to.
Yeah, really. Absolutely. I enjoyed listening to you. Really do.
Well, I hope that you do get that information, because when you open it up and you look at it, it will be very shocking that...
Right. Oh, yeah. I'll definitely look at it.
...is affecting people across this country. And we really do need to safeguard people.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, when people ask me, why do I do what I do, when I do this, you know, why is it? I said, well, here's what I am. I'm watching the Watchers. That's what I do. I watch the Watchers. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yep.
A lot of people, you know, still takes a little while to understand it. I do give them a full detailed description of what I'm talking about, you know, explain to them why it is. And then they catch on, hopefully they go do some research, you know. Because, I mean, it's like I'm not a preacher. I mean, I'm not that, but I preach this a lot, you know. I mean, every conversation I have with people, I bring up something about, you know, something that's going on or, you know, what have you.
Have you yet joined the American Sheriff's Association and remember back in the day they used to have street awareness groups,
mm-hmm.
you know, to make sure there was no crime?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Neighborhood Watch Program.
You betcha. And that's another way to again, join them.
Mm-hmm.
If you're witnessing these watchers that are messing with people, kind of like the flash mobbing or street theater and
mm-hmm.
other stuff, you can then call in and say, hey, we've got some people out here messing with people.
Mm-hmm. Well, it depends on who was messing with what it was, you know. I don't. You know, I look at only victim crimes. You know, victim damage and fraud. That's what my thing is. You know,
right.
As far as people, flash mobs, stuff like that, and singing and crazy stuff like that, I don't care.
Oh, I
you
don't.
Know,
No. I don't have problems with singing. I mean, but
right.
There are those who are doing, and I'm using that as an analogy, where they're organized criminal trauma networks that are overwhelming, much like flash mobbing. Victims
right.
in the VA. They're doing that a lot in the VA, throughout
right.
the VA.
Right.
And the intention is to break down a person,
mm-hmm.
to provoke them, to set them off and
right.
to undermine their confidence, their ability to logically think and even to discern what's going on. Because when
right.
you break them down enough, again, they're easily led and highly suggestible.
Right.
And it's not them that's doing it. It's other people through these criminal acts.
Right. Exactly. Crazy, ain't it? Crazy way it works. It's the confusion that keeps people from it.
Darcy,
really is.
There was a statement in here regarding you. Iggy's mom asked if you had a show. And she said she would love to listen to them if you did.
I do not.
Yeah, she had left. I knew you didn't, but, you know, you are a great speaker. She said you have a great radio personality.
Well, that's very kind of her. Thank you very much. I'm still trying to develop my personality. We'll have to see when I get some more of my wit back.
Well, you're doing good.
But with,
absolutely.
You know, with help of Ron, maybe we can kind of expand this in different areas and really begin to give people a different perception of how to begin thinking to kind of unplug from a lot of this crazy making and really begin to help support communities, because the crime rate that is happening now throughout our cities, communities, in every community, is towards children, young adults. Victims of these crimes are being broken down, and often even with technology that most people is not aware of. And in fact, I've got 31 pages of documents that have patents and descriptions on them of technologies. Most people have no concept, have existed for years. One specifically, just to give an example, is called Audio Spotlight. And on YouTube video with Barry Trower, that's B-A-R-R-I-E, and then T as in Tom, R-O-W-E-R, Barry Trower is an MI5. Now, that's United Kingdom Scientific Military Intelligence. He's probably about in his 70s. He does quite a few YouTube videos for free, and when you watch them, he will begin discussing a great deal of technology, such as in the 1950s, the Soviet Union in Moscow was using tetra waves towards
tetra waves.
Tetra.
That sounds familiar.
T-E-T-R-A, tetra waves towards the American embassy in Moscow. Now, tetra waves are actually microwaves. There was radiation and heat. The radiation would cause numerous of the people in that American embassy to come down with leukemia. And as it was developed, you have heat. So there's a secondary, and it's pulse energy, so you can't see it, but it can, in fact, affect you. Now, when the police actually had their radar guns, there were a great many police that began having cancers of the face, neck, and throat because those radios were actually emitting tetra waves from the radar that they were using. And all...
It was bouncing off the windshields.
You betcha. And all electric, all technology has standards. Now, standards meaning that they can't go above it at one point, and Barry Trower is now saying that those standards have been taken off, and Wi-Fi is causing cancer. So a lot of the schools that have Wi-Fi are actually causing children, because all girls are born with all their eggs. Baby girls are born with all their eggs when they're born. And as they are in schools with Wi-Fi, they're seeing higher levels of cancer throughout the schools, and especially with cell phones, because the energy coming off of cell phones is pulse energy. It can actually cause anger issues and change in mood. So that's why you should not have it next to your head. You should actually have it on an earbud separated, and the Bluetooth is not better for you, because it's directly, that pulse energy is directly into your brain.
Yes, you know, Trower said that when I also read where you should not have the cell phones by your reproductive organs.
Right, and you shouldn't have a cell phone for women. You should not have a cell phone tucked into your bra, because, again, what they're saying, and ladies, again, you should not have any underwire bras, because with this unseen imaging, the wire is a conductor. So in other words, that energy goes to the wire and increases the vibration. Remember, the human body is 90%, at least 90% water, 70 to 90%. So water is also conductive of this stuff.
Yeah.
So it's really important to, again, you don't need a wire to help. That's all myths. That's all propaganda. Do not take the wires out of your bras.
I don't wear no jewelry. Nothing.
Right.
Not even a watch.
We weren't talking about jewelry, Ron.
No. The whole idea is metal.
Well, any metal. Just metal,
conductive.
Period.
Oh, really?
Yep.
You damn right it does.
Okay.
You bet.
No, everything irritates my skin. My skin is very sensitive, so it all irritates me.
So Barry Trower will help to enlighten you, and he's going around the world talking about this and trying to get international leaders to help stop it. And he's been in contact with international scientists that are speaking about this. Getting back to Audio Spotlight, this is a technology that people can point at you. It was demonstrated on YouTube. So if you put in Audio Spotlight, there was a guy from MIT who on the fifth floor of his library pointed this energy system down to people who are peacefully, quietly studying, and they didn't know it. And he spoke behind it, and they heard between their ears his voice in a whisper. And he did it to multiple people. And it's called the voice of God. The unfortunate thing is that it is, most people don't understand it, so they're manipulating people based on their religious beliefs. So if you are a spiritual person or a religious person, or if you're a person who believes in superstition, whichever, they are manipulating people using this technology. You may believe you are having a spiritual connection or other types of thing, which should be your natural, normal right as a human being to have a private, intimate relationship with which that you believe in. But this is actually overriding it. And so many people who, if you are a person that they're attempting to break down, or a lot of veterans are having this stuff used on them, that they're going in and say, I don't understand what's going on. They're being put on pharmaceuticals that they don't need.
Stop asking about things.
Because schizophrenia is actually something where you're supposed to hear voices outside your head, not inside your head. The problem there, too, is there is technology that can even do that kind of garbage.
Doctor, let me ask you something, if you know. Now, you know how you see people now with the mouth rings and everything else?
Them piercings and stuff?
The piercings. All these excessive piercings. So that's going to affect them too, isn't it? Because it just seems like
internally.
That's just a fad that's just really bad. I mean, I don't like seeing it, but, of course, that's not for my generation, so it's not too much I like to see that, young people do today.
Well, again, you also have to look at why are they possibly doing that? I mean, if you go back,
exactly, am I looking at here?
If you go back into the 30s and 40s, it was cigarettes and alcohol and drugs, even crime. What is it a symptomology of? They may think it's simply, a fad, a fashion, their right, which again it is their right. It's their body, but. What is it really about? Most of the time,
I haven't got time for this crap.
In part because so much is happening around them, us.
Yeah.
You're talking about interpersonal issues, family issues, community issues, school issues, state and national issues, and traumas that are, multi-level deep,
sure.
Left, right, center. And no one in schools gives adults successful meaning which to process through this. First responders know how to do it, ambulance, fire, police, they actually write down journal the who, what, where, when, and why, and do it descriptively. That is the best way to get people through any kind of traumatic issues. And had we been, and it's really the only effective way, and if we've been trained to do that from when we were young, we wouldn't nearly have all the issues that we currently have.
Yeah, when I was in school, we were trained, you know, who, what, where, when, why, and how.
Right, but you, but as many of us were doing, we were trained to write that as far as papers. We were not trained to write as far as our own personal journaling or memoirs. And so now, in today's society, you go to a mental unhealthy professional, and they tell you, as you're sharing with them, what your memories are, and they said, you can't remember when you were two. I can't.
Yeah.
They're telling you what you can or can't remember. And yet, if you watch a documentary on PBS, Prince Charles is allowed to remember accurately what he went through. That's what's so amazing, is when a person that has a degree like that is telling you what your life was or wasn't. And their word has authority over what you know your life to be, even if you have evidence and proof of it. Now, if that's not crazy, I don't know what is.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't either.
Okay. I'm looking up Audio Spotlight, so I'm...
Pardon me?
He's looking up Audio Spotlight.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Also known as the Voice of God. Hopefully they haven't taken it down. And again, for any listening people.
It was by Barry Trower, is it was by, he said?
He didn't design it, but he talks about it. But it was also, let me think, the guy's name was Pompey from MIT.
Okay.
I think it was Mark Pompey.
Okay. I'm just seeing who's, there's a few of them on here, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The Wire Connection, Audio Spotlight, BBC Audio Spotlight, Blue Sonic Technology Audio Spotlight, Mad Libs Audio Spotlight Amsterdam, Audio Spotlight feature on the Smithsonian Channel. About it.
I mean, there's one, and I don't remember what the name of it was. I'd looked it up. There's one called Operation Bluebeam, which is where they can have you see holograms,
mm-hmm.
and they demonstrate. It's extraordinary technology that most people don't even know. And I believe it was Japan. In one of the ponds, they actually had and it was in the evening, they actually had a totally holographic imaging of something like a Godzilla. In China, they actually had cities that weren't even there in the myths that were being shown using this stuff. And you cannot tell. Unless you're familiar with the technology. They had one technology that the gentleman who was demonstrating it could move it, and if there was a fan, it would literally redirect the fan and be almost total surround sound.
Mm.
If you watch movies, if you have a favorite movie, put it on, and instead of watching your favorite movie and this scene and the dialogue and all that, go beyond and begin looking at the movie magic, the special effects. Look at how they're and what they're doing. Green screen. They actually have heat-sensitive plastics that when the heat from the day sun rises and then when heat hits the ceiling and it begins to come down, which is a natural effect in rooms, which is if you sit in your room and you don't have your heat on, and your house is all closed up, this is a natural occurrence, is why you often start feeling hot in your afternoon sunroom. Well, they actually have plastics that they double over. If you took your thumb and doubled it over at the index finger almost like a ribbon, and they can come in all different sizes, but they'll be behind a wall mounting, a picture or something like that. When the heat comes down to it, that heat-sensitive plastic totally opens up and will pop something off the wall. So when you have, like, people who are into the whole ghost thing, they can have things popping off your wall that you don't even have a knowledge of, and the plastic, which is totally see-through, will fall to the floor and you don't even see it. The same thing with smelling senses. So at times when people have believed that they've smelled their dead parents' perfume or cigars or things like that, it's often because it is heat-sensitive technology being used to get you to believe that that's happened, and it's not.
Lovely world we're getting into, isn't it?
it's really very sad because as some really aware people have said, we've been denied our right to have true miraculous experiences.
Yeah.
And then one has to wonder how much more is all made up.
Yeah.
That's a good question, too.
Is it all the delusion of the illusion?
That is what Debbie Tavares is going to talk about on Thursday.
Is she on your show?
She's going to be on Thursday.
Oh, good.
Yes. Isn't that wonderful?
Mm-hmm.
And that is what she's going to talk about.
Yep.
Is that my day off?
No, it's not.
All right.
I highly recommend her.
Oh,
yeah,
I'll definitely be there. Of course I will.
She is wonderful. I was listening to some of the things from on her page. Her website is stopthecrime.net. And she has given some wonderful interviews that I was listening to.
I'd recommend any of your listeners that when you listen to her, you have pencil and pen ready.
Yes.
Because then it will help you be able to much easier take notes, write down what she's saying so you can kind of look it up later and be able to kind of cross-coordinate. And again, don't simply believe somebody because they're showing up. Do a little bit of your own work.
Yes.
I kind of look at all this information as, okay, there's a lot of disinformation and misinformation, but here's where you get to use your critical thinking. If, as you go back through your own life, be kind and gentle to yourself, but begin looking at with this overlay of information and said, and kind of think of it as a Rubik's Cube or a recipe, because we all know that when you're, or even an athletic game, you know, if you change the recipe too much, it won't come out as you want, just like if you change the play of a game too much. It isn't what it appears to be anymore.
That is
true. If you leave something out, or if you add something that's not supposed to be there, then is it truly what it's supposed to be?
No, it's your own. It's a different variation.
That's right. And the question is, to what level?
Yeah, and it all depends on how much it's changed. But it's not what it was meant to be, or what the intentions of what it was for. When you know, especially when it comes to recipes, and you change it, then you make it your own variation. So it's not the original.
Well, I mean, I got to watch a Secretary of State John Kerry in Germany, and I believe it was this past year, in which he said, Americans have the right to be stupid. Then I found a quote from Henry Kissinger that said, military members are stupid animals.
Mm.
Now, when you look at those perceptions, and I'm always willing to say, okay, exactly what did you mean by that?
Yeah.
Because if the American education system was set up by people who were supposed to be teaching us to fully expand ourselves, and then and this is where the critical issue comes down to. If you have people that are allowed to abuse children, that they know they're causing great inability for them to concentrate, focus, or even remember what they're reading, then whose fault is it that these human beings who are depending on adults who are supposed to protect, not undermine, divide, and harm, whose fault is it truly that so many people are supposedly stupid? Those who have and who have destroyed the creativity, innovation, and entrepreneurial potential of these people?
Yeah, I would think so.
Yep, absolutely.
Especially
well, guys,
if they hold the keys unlocked.
I'm going to leave you guys. I hate to do it, but Dorothy has been fun. Definitely has been.
Okay,
really
well, when you
your,
hang up, it's going to hang us all up.
That's okay.
And
if you
can
I'll leave it go. It'll shut up automatically. I don't have to shut nothing off. Nothing. I have to shut nothing off, guys, at all.
No, I'm saying
okay,
when you hang up when you hang up the line, it's going to close
us all up. I'm not hanging up the line. No, I'm not doing that, though. It's this. No, it won't hang up because I'm not going to hang it up. That's what I'm saying. I'm just going to mute myself. I'm going to go get ready to go to bed, man, because I got to do that gig in the morning. I hate to.
All right, well, you
want to
make sure that Giselle is charged.
What's that?
We won't be on the air tomorrow night, folks. So Sunday, well, let's just say Monday. We'll be back Monday.
Right.
10 o'clock Eastern time. I don't know what time that is for you, Ron.
9 o'clock. 9 o'clock.
Okay.
Yeah.
And 7 o'clock Pacific time. So thank everyone. We thank you all for coming.
You guys can hang out for another almost half hour. You got like 22 minutes to go if you want to guys hang out with each other and talk. And we've got listeners on here, so I mean, you know, there you go. We got. You see the board at all, Antoinette? Do you have it up still?
Yeah, I have the board.
Yeah, you got five lines or four lines open. Well, yeah, two more besides
you
guys.
Yeah, I see they're open.
All right.
Okay.
Now, that blue one, you don't want to open that one. That's the snorer guy there.
Yeah, I'm going to leave that alone. I'm going to let them
anyway,
continue
it's been
to
fun.
Snore.
It's been fun. I loved every minute of it. But I will see you guys after the weekend's over.
Absolutely.
Okay. I will take a look at the information you sent me, Dorothy. I really will. That's going to be really cool. I might send something back, you know. Okay? All right, well, hey, I'll see you guys later. Have a good weekend.
All right. Thank you. Okay, Dorothy.
Well, I guess it's up to you of what you want to do from here.
Well, we can stay on. We have 20 more minutes of live time if you like.
Well
actually, 10. Give me 10 to close out the show.
Yeah, well, let's kind of look at some interesting historical figures. I mean, and I don't mean way far back. Everybody remember Kathy, was it Griffin? Is that what her name was? She was on the show opposite.
The morning show.
Yeah. Do you remember when she got busted for supposedly her line of clothes?
Yeah, using
children
child
making,
labor. Using child labor.
You betcha.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here was a woman that was successful. Her career was taken off, and all of a sudden, she gets drop-kicked. And if you go in and look now at all the different people that are using child labor, how is it that she got drop-kicked but none of them are? Same thing with Martha Stewart.
Yeah.
And yet she ended up being sent to prison and paying $40,000. Fine. And yet none of the male peers had that happen.
you know, so now could they have been targeted individuals? Could they have spoke out on something?
Well, of course. Of course. I mean,
and their way of telling them to shut up.
Well, I find it interesting that when you have, I mean, I can't say affirmatively that they may have been speaking about something.
Right.
Because obviously I don't know them personally. But again,
yeah,
when you look at the comparison historically and you say, well, why aren't these people being held accountable?
Yeah, and that's a good point. Yeah, that's really a good point. I didn't even think about it.
I mean, what about the historical perspective of Ford Company and the Pinto?
Yeah.
They found out that that had a 10-cent part that they didn't put in, and a whole lot of people died because of
missing that part.
Well, because cars would run, cars or trucks would, it would be rear-end collisions that would blow up the gas tanks. And yet, there you have an automotive, it was known in the 70s that this was the issue. The paperwork came out. Nobody was held accountable. That would have been premeditated murder because they knew so many people would die. Nobody was held accountable. We now have the GM issue.
Yes, I was thinking about that.
With people who have died. Again, one wonders, what do you mean somebody isn't going to be held accountable? These are human lives.
Yeah. But they don't hold the banksters accountable. You know, the people that run these banks, you know, they don't hold them accountable. They just give them more money. They're too big to fail.
Mm-hmm.
And they get bonuses. Now, you get a bonus for failing. And anyone else who didn't do their job correctly would have lost it, and they get a bonus.
Well, who was it also? Was it, I don't want to misquote it, but one of the big three car companies, their CEO would get $27 million in one quarter. So one-fourth of the year, he got $27 million in bonuses, stocks, and options. The car company would go bust within a year and a half, and the American public had to bail him out or bail it out.
Hmm.
Now,
that's just terrible. You know, go show you there's something wrong with our system.
Well, no, what it is that because so many Americans are overwhelmed by life, they often don't track this stuff.
Yeah. And that is true.
And yet, well, why isn't that CEO paying back the Americans for what he did wrong with that car company?
Yeah. And, of course, that's not going to happen.
Well, I think that's when Americans can vote with their dollars and not buying those cars as protests, because you can see what they do is they bank on the fact that people will typically buy the same product that your parents bought.
Yeah.
Because you get familiar with it. And so you depend on that.
Yeah, that's true. Because I know what my father, he always said, always buy GM.
Right. And I think more of the incentive was buy American, support American.
Mm-hmm.
You know, help keep the economy strong, and that's a great and noble belief.
Yeah.
The problem was is that when, from the inside out, those products were having significant issues as far as
gas mileage, credibility as far as its safety issues.
Mm-hmm.
Again, there was products that were concerning all people when you look across the board. It was in consumer reports and things like that were coming out. And you would also begin hearing from other people who own these different cars of the various problems. And America began, even then, waking up to a level of they work hard for the money. They want to invest in something that is solid, dependable, and strong.
Yeah. Because a car was a major investment.
Right.
You know, other than the house.
Right. Now, see, back in the 70s, what was big was Volkswagen. Well, Volkswagen was created by Nazi Germany. Hitler created
Right, because
Volkswagen.
They're a German Germany. Manufactured car.
And it simply was brought over from Germany, but Germany certainly got a great deal of benefits from that.
Oh, of course. Yeah. I don't know about the newer ones, but I know when they first came out, the engine and everything was in the front.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Which was weird, you know. I mean, because it was something that, you know, we just didn't see here.
Right. Well, again, one of the novelties of that was the fact that for anybody who lived in snow country, they understood that if you had a front-wheel drive and more weight in the front, you'd be able to maneuver the car much better, and you wouldn't have the slipping and sliding as much to the back. It was, it was just a new and different concept.
Yeah.
And since the Germans have part of the year in snow country, they're well familiar with those kind of issues, whereas America has such a diverse seasonal difference across the country.
You know, on the East Coast, we get snow.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's mainly just basically the Pacific Coast that really does. Well, they get snow up in the mountains.
Yeah, most people do. I mean, most places do.
Yeah.
But again, I mean, we've really come through a lot of things. I mean, when you're talking about back in the day, 70s,
yes,
you had five, maybe eight channels, and now you have what? Over
1,000 almost.
Over 1,000.
Close to it, I guess.
You betcha.
Yeah. I know it goes up above 1,000.
Well, you also talk about your internet and your different things like that, but I don't know.
I was around when I was a child.
I think they're going to find that technology is going to be the something else to check into. Transhumanism.
Yes.
Very important word, transhumanism or futurism. You'll begin seeing a great deal of stuff that is very unusual. There's nothing wrong with seeing and moving towards the future because that's what we need to do, but there's some levels at which you have to begin wondering you're going to do what? And I'm going to just give a heads up. Anybody who has a debit card, please know that is one of the single easiest ways to breach your bank account to steal from you. I was told that
really?
A bank clerk, if you can get, don't get an ATM card or don't get a debit card. If you can get a credit card, or because then it's totally protected. If you have to, get an ATM and use cash. But the debit cards are, they're very easily breached as far as I've had it happen. I will never have another ATM again or a debit card.
Mm-hmm.
But again.
Okay, and I don't like to carry cash, so I use my debit card. I don't like using the credit cards because
right.
when I got them paid off,
well,
I was
yeah,
great.
It, the amount of money they charge you, but if you pay it off,
yeah.
if you can be more diligent in paying it off, there's more protection there than your...
Yeah, and that is true.
Right, and that's a huge scam as well. I think I
yeah.
had over $700 stolen from me, and even when I tracked down the thieves, their addresses, the police would not charge them.
You're
they
kidding.
Wouldn't charge them. Now, I got my money back, but the fact
oh,
was,
good.
But the fact was is, I wanted to go after the people and charge them because this debt comes out of the American public's pocket.
Yeah.
Yep. But police wouldn't even go after them. And I did the investigation and found the address and all the stuff they did. And that was in Arizona. But this, you know, this kind of stuff is happening all over the place. And it's like, there's something really wrong with that.
Yes, that there is.
And I actually have, you know, I was disagreeing with the police. I said, you know, respectfully, I gave you this information. I told you which charges were wrong. You have an address. Mm-hmm. You go to the rental officials. You can get this person's, I mean, this is nominal problems here. And the only thing
yeah.
they could say is, didn't you get your money back? But that's not the point.
Right. They were still supposed to go after them because that's still theft. I mean, they know that.
That's right. But they didn't
They must have known them. Must be somebody who they know.
Highly probable.
No, Dorothy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very sorry. We have seven minutes left.
That's okay. It's time to wrap it up.
Yes, I would like to thank everyone for calling, those that were in the chat room, and those that are still with us here on the line. And we will see y'all back on Monday. And I hope that everyone has a good weekend. Okay, let me find a song to play us out on.
And we'll talk tomorrow, Miss Antoinette, yes?
Yes, that would be great.
Okay.
I look forward to it.
Hopefully you feel better, yes?
Yes, it's not supposed to rain anymore.
Okay.
Yes.
So have a good night.
Thank you, you too.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
ones that you care.